Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me as always on this program, first in the Northern California Bay Area, world famous juggler Craig Larson. How you doing tonight, Greg?
Man, Ozzy, such great week. I've picked out our Halloween costume between my wife and I, which is great. New Dream Theater album came out, which is awesome. Already had a good listen. There was one song, 20 minutes long. Fantastic. And on top of that, my jersey collection is going to get bigger with an Orko jersey from Masters of the Universe. So it's been a great week. How about yourself,
Excellent.
Ozzy?
Excellent. Fantastic. Always tons of stuff going on. But I just want to touch base with you real quick. So you also have a news story that you're going to share with us momentarily. But I did want to ask, you said you picked out the Halloween costume for your new wife. Did you want to share what that is, or is it like a surprise?
Yeah, I can share it. So we decided Princess Bride. Great film.
Excellent.
But instead of being who everyone would think of Wesley Buttercup, I will be Inigo Montoya, and my wife will be Fezzik. And for those who don't know, my wife is about 5 feet tall. So her playing the Andre the Giant character is going to be a lot of fun.
That's hilarious. At a performing arts camp I went to a while ago, for a costume dance, a group of counselors, we dressed up as Princess Bride characters. Of course, I was Fezzik. I had this like AC Slater wig, and I had this like tan shirt that I just kind of turned inside out and just tucked in the collar. Totally worked. Anyway, also with us, ladies and gentlemen, Fleshman producer Todd. I assume chilling as always.
Chilling.
Now, I mean, I hope you don't mind I bring this up, because Greg mentioned he picked out a Halloween costume for him and his wife. And I mean, I know that your wife is a devout Denver Broncos fan. I'm fairly certain that's the case. And to the point when you feel the need to wear a Denver Broncos hat. And pulling back the curtain a little bit, we're recording this episode on Sunday, October 17th at 9:13 p.m., approximately 5 hours after the end of the Las Vegas Raiders defeating the Denver Broncos 34-24 in Denver. But that score does not represent how that game went. So I'm just curious, is she still a Denver Broncos fan?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's, you know, all right. I know she doesn't watch this, but exactly. All right, well, before we jump into this week's review of the fantastic film Death Becomes Her, Greg, you had a news story that you wanted to share with us. If you please indulge us.
Yeah, so oftentimes, you're reading headlines of things and you're like, oh, I wonder how misleading that is, you know, and there was a headline. I was like, how is that misleading? And I had to look into it because the headline read, New Zealand gets rid of their official wizard. And no joke, in New Zealand for the past 23 years, this man has been the official wizard of New Zealand on a government payroll, making around $11,000 US dollars is what it breaks down to. And his job description is he performs acts of wizardry and other wizard-like services.
What the hell is it?
Right?
This totally feels like a Merlin's situation, where it's like Merlin's kind of just there on retainer. You know, like King Arthur had paid Merlin like he would pay his lawyer. Hey, I need you, you know, can you do some wizard stuff? What was the wizard stuff in 2020 or 2021? And can I just say, like, it's pretty weak wizard that he couldn't stop a disease. I mean, like, you think he's a wizard, he could control magic, and like all this time we've had a wizard, an actual professional wizard, and turns out it was a sham. Maybe that's why he was fired, is because, hey, you couldn't stop COVID, so you're kind of full of it.
Yep. We're on to your ruse.
I don't appreciate your ruse, ma'am. Anyhow, this week we did. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to catch up. Anything else you wanted to share on that story? Is it pretty much?
No, that's pretty much it.
Got it. Todd, did you have anything you wanted to speak on there?
No.
All righty then. We'll just jump right into this review of Death Becomes Her, directed by Robert Zemeckis, released in 1992, rated PG-13 with a runtime of 1 hour and 44 minutes. Right now, let's check out the trailer. Todd, you do the honors.
All right.
Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart?
Some people will go to any length to stay young forever.
Is that someone?
It's Madeline Ashton. Oh, she was a big star in the 60s.
I thought she was dead.
Oh, madam, you look younger every day.
Thank you, Rose.
But Madeline Ashton and her old friend, Helen Sharp.
I've lost men to her before.
Are about to go too far.
A touch of magic. Drink that potion, and you'll never grow even one day older.
Bottoms up.
No warning.
Now a warning? Siempre viva! Live forever!
Ernest, I'm in the morgue. They think I'm dead.
You are. But you're not.
Are you telling me it doesn't hurt when I do this?
It doesn't hurt.
She's dead!
She's dead, Ernest.
Now he's dead.
He's dead? Ernest is dead? Everybody's dead!
You pushed me down the stairs.
I'm so sweaty.
I don't think it's sweat, honey. I think you're defrosting.
Universal Pictures presents Meryl Streep, Bruce Willis.
It's a miracle!
And Goldie Hawn.
Look at me. I'm soaking wet.
Death Becomes Her.
I just have to make a telephone call.
Oh, man, Death Becomes Her, as we saw in the trailer or heard, all starring Meryl Streep, Goldie Hawn, and Bruce Willis. Just some initial thoughts in this film. It was one of those I saw at like age 8, where like my dad fell asleep halfway through the movie and would only pay attention when Isabella Rossellini's side boob shots came into play. But in terms of the, wait a second, can I just stop for a minute? Because there's a lot of times I'm looking directly at my camera lens here and I don't look at the screen, and then I'll like glance at the screen.
He says the camera lens, but he's looking at the picture of himself.
No, I'm dead serious. I was looking, coming back from the trailer, I was looking straight exactly at the lens, and I believe Greg knows this. And then when I look on the screen, I see Greg has a mask on, and I'm not talking like he has a face mask on. It's like a full on, like, over the head face mask. Why?
Does he not get who it is?
That's the Andre the Giant mask.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
It just really, like, you know, I'm over here in one realm of talking about one movie. It's like, what is happening? Now I understand.
Yeah.
So anyhow. As I mentioned my initial thoughts, Greg, how about yours?
This was a movie that I've not seen in quite some time, but I do remember watching it initially and thinking it was hilarious. And I even told my wife when this was coming up, I was like, this movie was great. I remember laughing so hard at it. And so it was interesting to watch it again.
Absolutely. Todd, how about you?
Well, I'm going to give a little history on this one, too, real quick. I am a fan of this one. I was looking forward to revisiting it. Earlier this year, a new special edition, collector's edition came out from Scream Factory. So It's got everything you could want out of it. Well, minus a Bruce Willis interview, but that was happening.
Is there's commentary from Zemeckis?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That sounds excellent. That's definitely one I think I'd want to actually pick up.
Well, I recommend it. And
we got some outtakes on there too.
I'd have to double check the specs, but I can pull that out. what the exact specs are. I'll save that for the end and I'll pull up the specs.
Okay.
But this movie actually began life. And I don't know if you guys know it as well as like I know off the top of my head. Did you guys notice the trailer music?
Oh yeah. The Crypt Taylor's Tales from the Crypt.
This began its life as a follow-up to Bordello. No, sorry. Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight. It was going to be the second Tales from the Crypt feature film. So Robert Zemeckis produced the series and all that stuff. So this is, yeah, there's a couple films that started off life as that. This one and the Frighteners are the biggest ones.
Oh, so, okay. So this initially started off that was going to be its second Tales from the Crypt movie.
And you can actually still hear some of the Elfman Tales from the Crypt music in the feature, in the film itself.
I didn't think too much on it because what I thought was interesting. So you see directed by Robert Zemeckis, then you see music by Alan Silvestri. And I thought like, oh, that's interesting. It's the same duo for Back to the Future. You know what I mean? So I kind of had like that. I don't want to say those lenses on because lenses are meant for visual and that's an audio thing. But it was something I was paying attention to in any, like I was more paying attention to similarities like, oh, because Silvestri is great with comedic moments, right? And like how music hits in Back to the Future and how music hits here. I didn't notice any Elfman influences, but at the same time, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, it's not a lot. There's just a little bit you might notice.
But just a little bit deeper before jumping into our favorite scenes. It's an hour 44 minutes, but it definitely doesn't feel as much, definitely not as long. There's so much small details throughout that you really are just having a good time just watching all this unfold, and you almost don't care how long it's. I didn't get exhausted at one point, like looking at my watch, how much curious time was longer. But just to jump into my favorite line here. It had to have been after you had Madeline Stone, I believe is her. Because I keep thinking of Madeline Stowe, the actress. But it's
Meryl Streep is Madeline Menville,
Ashton. It was Madeline Ashton. Yeah. That's what it was. So Madeline Ashton marrying whatnot. But she first going. After, you know, the neck is broken and they're in the doctor's office and she has no pulse and ends up getting taken to the morgue. And you have Bruce Willis like, and this always got me like from when I was a kid, just because of his delivery of like, he sounds like he's going to cry. But then the line itself of like, where'd you take her? The morgue. She'll be furious. Like to the nurse, it's like, she's dead. Like, even at age 8, I thought to myself, that is the funniest thing in the world. This she's supposed to be dead and nobody, like, it just resonated with me even as a child. So that even still to this day, as much as I appreciate a lot more lines I was paying attention to this time around, that still, even from age 8, every single time, that line always gets me. How about you, Greg?
I think part of this is because of my vindictiveness with Bruce Willis and his lack of holiday movies.
You know what? If you want to be a Scrooge, I don't. We that's not the time for this.
No,
time to be Ebenezer Scrooge.
No. But my thing about him is the moment where after, like when he thinks, "Oh, I murdered her, I killed her," and then she shows up and like he screams. So hard and not like this, like not the Bruce Willis screams you're used to, not like the guttural, but like just this high pitched and like, I don't know why, but that moment I was just like, all right, that was funny, Bruce. Well done, sir.
There's a amount of time saying, oh boy, also humorous. And I'm sorry, before I get to you, Todd, I didn't mean to take away from any lines from Meryl Streep or Goldie Hawn. Everybody was so great. And hilarious. Mm-hmm. they all meshed well. Todd, how about you?
Ozzy took mine. That was my favorite one. No. It's good. It is when it stands out. This is one I did see theatrically because I'm the old fuck. But
I saw age 8 theatrically. Yeah. So we're in the same boat as being old fucks, I guess.
Good time.
So your favorite?
You already took my favorite. That's all I had to
have. Oh, you didn't have a backup?
I didn't. I thought it was going to be a load on that one.
Okay. I got you then. I believe it was when they were spray painting each other. There was a line I wrote down. I honestly can't remember what point, but the line just, could you just not breathe? Just cracked me up. I thought of some, I had a particular perception of this movie and how much I liked it before I rewatched it. Rewatching it again, like it's absolutely fantastic from the very beginning. And what pisses me off is that I see this IMDb profile page and I see it currently at a 6.6 out of 10. Just pisses me off. Obviously, we rank films out of 5 on this podcast, and I would have to rank it a 5 out of 5 purely because it completely flew by and everybody was so entertaining and they all had their own shticks and lines to deliver, and it just flowed so well. So it's a 5 for me. Greg, how about you?
So real quick, another moment that I just, that kind of passed by that I thought was great was they're trying to set up, or they're talking about setting up a scene to make it look like she got drunk and went off the cliff and whatnot. And they're like, oh, they're going to think that she was just a little bit inebriated, but they've got like 50 bottles of vodka. Like that would be enough to make an elephant drunk. Like, so I just thought that was a great moment. Unfortunately, I'm the opposite of you, Ozzy. Like, I remember loving this movie, but I felt watching it this time, as a movie, it was great. As a comedy, it was slow at first. It took a long while for like the funny, because the funny was really like once they went over the edge of their current life. So it was like 45 minutes into the film, which, don't get me wrong, it didn't feel like 45 minutes. So as a film, it was great. As a comedy, it was all right. So I have to give it a 3.5 just for the comedy's sake of the movie.
Okay.
No, Ozzy.
No, I mean, I have responses, but I mean, it's, I don't think it really matters to debate.
Well, I'll split the difference because I'm a 4.5. I do really enjoy this. I don't know. You bookend it with the Crypt Keeper, I might have given it a 5.
I get that. And Greg, I mean, just to your point about like, yeah, you can say it was back-ended with a lot of the zany antics, right? But I felt that worked because you needed to set the stage, you needed to set the relationships, you needed to
build,
set,
right?
You had to build right. How the lives were. So that way, when the zany stuff would happen, it would hit, it would resonate well. Because if you just had like, you know, a bunch of humorous moments and then you had zany stuff, it wouldn't strike you like those, like even seeing Madeline Ashton or Meryl Streep's character go down the stairs, and it's 1992 CGI. I mean, but considering 1992 CGI, pretty good still to this day, but
oh yeah,
you could obviously tell like, oh yeah, definitely. Right. But even then, like when she lands on her neck at the step, I'm still just like, oh, like, and I got to turn away just because
it
was such a shock because everything had seemed so normal. Right. Not even like major humorous punchlines. So you're kind of in this realm of I'm watching a movie. Like you said, as a movie is great. So you're thinking watching, and then like all this zany starts happening, and it's its own uniqueness in that way. Whereas you have like a Naked Gun or an Airplane or Spaceballs or even Clerks, you just have it. It's constant throughout. Right. And it like has its ebbs and flows, but this has such a unique where it's like, yeah, standard movie. And then like all this crazy stuff happens. Right. And yeah, like to your point, sure, 45 minutes, but it didn't feel that way. And also just a funny point, because it's the same director. When I used to go to Blockbuster, I talk about, you know, dating myself, but going to Blockbuster, where do you think I found Back to the Future?
In the comedy section?
In the comedy section.
Right.
So, but to my point is that, like, maybe Zemeckis wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm going to make a comedy, more just, I'm going to make this movie, and it happened to be that funny. You know what I mean?
And I think one of the downsides is when you've seen, when you saw this movie a long while back, and you remember the back end. So you remember so much funny. And when you go to watch it, you're like, oh God, I remember this movie being hilarious. And then you watch it and you're like, I thought it was hilarious. And then it gets to it and you're like, oh, okay, it is. It just took a while. But you forget that beginning section. So, like, I think part of it is the loaded expectation from when what I remember of the film. And then it just didn't deliver because I didn't remember the film in its entirety. So,
this was actually one that I had recorded off of like an HBO preview or whatever, or Showtime preview. I would actually watch multiple times, like junior high, high school. Like, it was in my standard rotation of random comedies that I would watch every now and then. It's because I got such a kick out of it, because it wasn't like a traditional comedy.
Right.
It was its own. You know, it, I mean, you and I play video games. I'm just going to use this because it's the only analogy I can think of. Like, whenever you create something in a game, you have some sort of like memory available, right? So it's almost like, okay, in a comedy, you can have this much funny, right? So it's almost like they just shifted all that funny to the end, right? And that's just the way that movie came together. And that I appreciate for that. And it stands out for me in that manner, and I loved it. So I don't mean this to sound like, oh, you're wrong, Greg, but that's where I'm at with my 5 being the correct score, and you with your 3.5, which is the incorrect score.
Yeah, well, I just look at it as Mel Brooks. That's a five.
It's okay. It's all right. Well,
we should have had the disclaimer. We should have had the disclaimer.
Disclaimer should have come from you this time.
Yeah. Well, there'll be one for me coming up.
Really? Oh, I think that's a sneak preview about next week's episode, where we will return with a new episode continuing our theme of horror-themed comedies with The Lost Skeleton of Kadavra.
Yes. And
Todd, I'm curious.
I didn't say it was that one.
I know
our schedule beyond.
Yes. There was a request made. This will be coming up in the next few weeks. Should I just leave it as a surprise?
Let's save the torture.
It's a couple weeks out.
It's going to be a few weeks out, and
I might be sick that week.
I'm looking forward for Todd's review on this. We might have a private school moment from Todd, which I cannot wait for.
I've tried to live my whole life without watching this and one other movie, and I have a feeling, because I told you the other movie, we'll eventually have to do that.
Oh yeah, we're going to find out what that movie is. Oh, you can bet your ass we're going to find out what that movie is.
You missed it. Better go back in the chat when you brought this movie up. I said it right there.
Okay. I'll go back. Don't worry.
I know you will.
And ladies and gentlemen, don't worry. I'll fill you in on what that movie is once we actually get to it. But as I mentioned, in terms of next week, we'll be back with a new episode with The Lost Skeleton of Kadavra. Thank you very much for joining us wherever you did on YouTube, Spotify, or another favorite podcast platform. Be sure to join us next week for a new episode. Todd and Greg, anything else you'd like to say before you head out for the evening?
Don't forget to tip your local wizard, because, you know, he's hard at work. No longer.
A paid wizard.
Check out our Wednesday show. We're going to talk Halloween traditions and some other fun stuff. Live.
Live. A live flesh wound show.
Well, we do a lot of those, Ozzy.
Is there? Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, is it going to be any special guest, or is it going to be the standard flesh?
No, group? But next week
Dan.
Next week we will be going over the Dark Side of the Ring XPW episode, which we should have a special guest.
Oh.
Now, will that episode be a live or an undead episode?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh man.
There we go. The spirit of the Crypt Keeper lives.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. That sounded. Ladies and gentlemen, he's Fleshman producer Todd, world famous juggler Greg Larson. I'm Ozzy Veen. We'll see you next week, right here on Flesh Wound Farce.